This morning, I'm going to talk about change. We are called to change. And I'd like to ask you a question and I would say, you don't have to raise your hand, but I would say there would be very few in the audience today, maybe there would be some, that didn't want to change something about yourself. This is a multi-billion dollar industry that we see flaunted throughout the media today. Whether that be physical, financial, or mental, you know, we see advertisements everywhere. Whether that be on the radio, in writing, or on TV, we see those advertisements everywhere, and they appeal to us. They grab our attentions because I know, I need to change. I need to change. And perhaps you know that too. There's nothing wrong with wanting to change. As a matter of fact, we're called to change. God's Word has called us to change. Okay, this is my first time for doing this, so if I do mess up, I apologize. And if it slows me down, I apologize. But we're going to try to make it through this, and maybe I will try this again someday. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Paul has used, or the writer, whoever you would like to say, I'm going to say Paul wrote this. Paul has used 11 chapters, 11 pages, or whatever you want to say. He's been explaining God's plan of how Jews and Gentiles are all brought together in Christ. And then the climax here is in verse 2, and he says, and now change. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. He says, now change. That's the climax. And Apostle Paul understood the need for change and God's mission to change us. He understood that. And we need to be willing participants in that. We need to cooperate with God in that change. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, excuse me, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, similar wording, it says, But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are called to change. These last two scriptures that I read in Ephesians and Colossians, it gives us an imagery here of taking something off and putting something on, such as taking off a piece of clothing and laying it aside, getting rid of it, and putting on something new. As Christians, we are called to change. You are called to change. So that you are different today than you were yesterday. You must be different today than you were yesterday. Not to be conformed to the world, the fads and the fashions that we see around us. And so often we're dragged down that road of conforming to those things around us. So often we're dragged down that road. And we're called to transformation according to the will of God. In John chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, it says, For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now Jesus characterized or said to be the Word of God. He's also characterized as light. The Word is characterized as light. in the scriptures, in our songs are filled with that. The characterization of the word of Jesus is light. We need to come to that light. The light shows you, me, where I need to be. What I am today. It shows me what I am today. It shows me where I need to be. What I need to be. What you need to be. That's what the word of the light does. A person needs to be careful about change because there's so many things out there that will lead you down the wrong path. We're to look to God's word for change, for right direction, self-study, advice and counsel from Christians, men and women, will all give us that right direction because we will get the word of God, the right direction from the word of God. The light of God's word reproves or convicts, showing me where I am wrong. The light of God's word convinces me where I have gone wrong and convicts me to do something right. The light of God's word makes manifest or renders apparent, making things plainly recognizable. It shows me what I need to become and how to change effectively. And we must look to the word of God in order to change in a correct manner, one that will be acceptable, one that will be good for us as well as for those around us. In Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So this is what God's word does for me. When I look into God's word, it shows me, Jeff Willingham, where I am today, January 31st, 2016. I think that's falling off my ear. Excuse me. But that's what the word of God will do for me. Is it too loud now? Okay. Not only where I am, but the word is a light into my pathway. It shows me where I am going and how to get there. That's what the word of God will do. And that is why we need to come to the light. You need to come to God's word to find that instruction. Looking at the scriptures, we will see principles that will help us affect change in our life. Now, whenever I think about change, you know, I think about big change. I would like to lose 25 pounds. Okay? That may not seem like a big deal to you, but it has been for me. I'm 25 pounds heavier than I was the day we worked on this building. Can you believe that? 2.5 years? 25 pounds heavier. I would literally love to get rid of those 25 pounds. But in order to lose 25 pounds, I have to lose that first one. Okay? You have to get started somewhere. And I want you to know that big changes are intimidating. They're intimidating to me, perhaps to you too. So I need to break that down and make those small changes so that I can win, so that I can be successful and want to go on. I do not need to overwhelm myself with changes. We're going to look at four things, four areas that I believe we can focus on to affect change in our life. Four areas. Now this is a structure only. This is the foundation. There's many other things, many other areas that you might want to look in once you get started down that road. This is simply a structure or a foundation for that change. The first one is to change your mind. We noticed in those three scriptures, Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, "Transformed by the renewing of your mind." Ephesians 4 and verse 23 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And Colossians 3 and verse 10 says, "Renewed in knowledge." All these verses and many more, refer to the renewing of a person's mind. Many more scriptures. Paul says to renew the mind requires new knowledge. So that means a tearing of the old out and replacing of that with new. Because that old will not be consistent with the new. It will not. It'll make the new less effective also. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." One thing I would like for you to think about, you know, we have to change our mind, because as we think in our mind, that's the way we're going to be. But behind everything that we want to change, there's a big lie. A big lie. Because all things bad have their root in deception. So we're going to have to investigate what that big lie is that I'm believing. This is one of them that I have believed in the past. Okay? Me and my partner, Grant McDaniel, discussed this in the last several years because of the way we worked in the first 15 of our business. The big lie for us was, you work as many hours as you can. You do all that you can while you're young, and then when you're old, you will give to God. You will have time. You can afford it then. And we worked 10, 12, 15, 18 hours a day, 6 days a week. But that was a lie. That was a lie. There are many other things that you might think about that's a big lie in your life. You need to investigate those things and know that God's Word will present them to you or make them apparent to you that they are a lie. The second thing is to change your will. You're going to change your mind, now you must change your will. To will means to determine, to choose, or prefer. The will has the power of controlling one's actions or emotions, okay? That's what the will can do. But I want you to know that you can change your mind, but if you don't change your will, you're not going to change, period. I can change your mind, but if you don't change your will, I can't change. You're not going to change. I'm going to give you an example of that, okay? I changed my mind and said, okay, I'm going to eat right, and I'm going to exercise. So I bought me a treadmill. Okay? It sits in the bedroom floor, and I hang my clothes on it. Okay? And my eating, I eat right when I make myself. But like today, it's going to be difficult to eat right. That is a changing of a person's mind, but not a changing of their will. Have you ever heard someone say, or have you ever said this, when they're watching somebody and they say, well, they know better than that. They know better than that. And that's true. That's probably true. But your actions and your behavior are not a product of your knowledge. Now, your knowledge has something to do with that if your will is right. But just because you know to do better and you don't, it's not a product of your knowledge. Your actions are it's a product of your will. You determine whether you're going to do or not do. Everybody wants to change, so why don't they? Why don't they? In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Your actions are an exercise of your will, okay? You can look at change. You can want change. You can know that change is good. But when you count the cost, that's going to determine the will. When you count that cost. I've heard said, and I've said it myself, people aren't going to change until they hit rock bottom. That's probably true. But why? Why do they have to hit rock bottom before they change? The reason why is because the cost of not changing isn't high enough. Okay? When that cost of change gets high enough, they will change. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now can you see this man? When was the last time you saw some run to the front of the building wanting to be saved? Run. And then throw themselves down on their knees. No, this guy wanted it, okay? Jesus saw that he wanted it. He loved him because of that desire that he had. But he didn't have the will to perform. Now, isn't it sad to want something so bad, to know what to do to have it, but not to have the will to accomplish it? Isn't that sad? You may find yourself in that situation sometimes, as I have. It says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, we're talking about a change of action now. Change of action. It says, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. It's not enough just to change your mind and your will. It's not enough just to do that. You have to perform or transfer that into actions. You have to get up and do it. And that was the question that the Apostle Paul said here. He said, I know what I want to do. But how to perform that? I have the want to and the will to, but how to perform? Back in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read a while ago about, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is not talking about God working a miracle in your life, okay? This is talking about God's word working in you, convicting you, convincing you. You want to, and now you get, that word will give you the will to, because it convicts you. And then you get out and perform according to what God's will is, or His word says to do. To change your mind and your will, those things take place internally. Okay? We can work on those. Those things take place internally. But now we're getting to those things that are outside or external. You have to change behaviors. You have to build a new you. You cannot just rock on. Proverbs 13 and verse 4, it says, The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Some people desire that change. They change their mind, you know, they have that desire. They change their will, but they never get up and perform. They never get up and perform. They don't have the diligence to carry out the business end of it, so that it can become reality in their life. They don't have that diligence. In Galatians 6 and verse 7 it says, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth that shall he also reap. Now there are certain actions that lead to certain outcomes. We all know that. But the thinking is, this is what they're selling you, a bill of goods. This is one of the lies, okay? Certain actions lead to certain outcomes. This is what they're selling us. That will not happen to me. That won't happen to me. Because everyone's special in their own mind. Everybody. It won't happen to me. It will happen to the other guy. That's the big lie. How arrogant is it? How arrogant is it to think that God says everybody else has to do it that way, but I can do it this way? How arrogant is that? I can do it this way. Just like the doctor told me, he said, if you want to lose weight, you have to exercise and diet. Okay? And I say, not so, Lord. I'm going to take this little pill and eat all I want and sit on the couch. Is that what they tell you today? How many diet pills are bought daily? A miracle diet pill. And that's how we treat our life. It's not going to happen to me. Not so, Lord, I can do this. The question is that you need to think about, what have I sown in the past and what must I sow now? What must I sow now? Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Have you ever heard that? In Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, it says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Okay. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Okay? Now, I know this is very familiar to everyone, but what I want to notice is God asked two questions. Where are you, and what have you done? Where are you, and what have you done? We need to know those answers, folks, about ourselves. Where are we, and what have I done? Okay? Einstein's definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Einstein's definition of insanity. Until you can focus upon changing your mind, your will, and your actions, change will elude you. It will. In other words, you're not going to change. Not going to. Fourth thing I want to think about this morning is a change of environment. I can say this right here, because I know a lot of y'all and I love y'all immensely. I said this at Coleman. You know why you're so important to each other and to me, especially me, because you support me in who God wants me to be. And I found that to be true from the first time I set foot on this project. Y'all supported me in who God wanted me to be. You're important to each other because you support each other in who God wants y'all to be. The environment that you live in today, by the way, is one of your own creation. Someone else didn't create it for you. You chose it. The people in your environment, they're your support team. They are. Every one of them. Every one of them. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. When I studied this with a young man, the first words out of his mouth was, you're going to tell me I have to give up my friends. Yeah. Probably. But here's the thing. Everyone wants to immediately grasp the negative. You're going to tell me I have to give up. But here's a positive, guys, right here in Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Add wise people. You're going to be adding people. Surround yourself with people who are already like God wants you to be. Surround yourself with those kind of people. Then you will have support and guidance in becoming who God wants you to be. Change your mind. Change your will. Change your action. Change your environment. Change starts today. Today, now. If you really want to change, do it now. You put it off today. Next Sunday will come and you will put it off. And you won't have changed. You will still be the same you. Not the person God wants you to be, perhaps. At least not what you could be for God. You won't have changed. A month will go by. A year will go by. Your whole life will have passed you by. And you will have not changed. Every day it will get harder to change. Or else easier to say no. Every day you wait, it's going to get harder. I beg you this morning to take that first step of change.